Jesus believed in preparation. He knew that he was leaving this world, and he did not want to leave his disciples feeling alone or lost or forsaken. He believed that he could prepare them for what lay ahead. And he believed that preparation was a good thing. Now, this might surprise you, but I have been known to drive people a little crazy. And our music director in Arcona was always shocked to hear me say, whenever she was preparing for Sunday service, and I got to apologize in advance, Jim Carroll, for this one, practice is for cowards. Oh my gosh, I'm preaching to the choir. Literally. But preparation is key to anything. And it is in being prepared that you are able to do a good job. In fact, I saw in the job description that a message should come from the pastor that is well prepared. I thought, oh boy. Define well. But when we look into God's word, His Holy Spirit works within us, and we begin to glean things out of His word that speak directly to us. And when I read this passage, I thought about the fact that Jesus was establishing for His disciples the reality that God would be with them, but that God would also be within them. And this was a whole new concept. A whole new concept. You don't go through very many stages in your life in which there is a whole new concept, except when the little boys suddenly discover that girls aren't icky and they're actually desirable. And that's when the trouble starts. That's a whole new concept. And all of a sudden, you're looking at the same person in a different way. Jesus wanted to give to his disciples a brand new concept. The Israelite people were very used to God being with them. They were God's chosen people. God went before them as he led them out of captivity and into the promised land. They were used to God being with them. But the concept of God being within them was something new. What could they expect from this? What can we expect from the concept that God is within us? The first thing we have to realize is that when God is within us, it is God in His entirety, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus, in this little discourse, makes sure that His disciples heard the names of the Father and of Himself and of the Spirit, and gave them a little inkling of what lay ahead. The first thing that we know, or we can realize, is that when God comes within, God gives us comfort. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus said. Do not let them be afraid. God is a God of comfort. God comforts us, and we find comfort in God. Right now, there are thousands of loyal Maple Leaf fans who are having comfort in the fact that they have the first overall draft pick. And they get to pick whoever they think would be is the best prospect to lead them to their promised land and possibly the first Stanley Cup since 1967, before many of you were born. And it gives them comfort, and it gives them hope. Comfort and hope are often tied together. And throughout the Old Testament, God would speak to the Israelite people, and he would say to them, I will comfort you. And the psalmist seeks God's comfort and says, comfort. And those of us who had the opportunity to sing in the Messiah, how many people have had a chance to sing some or all of the Messiah? Yeah. It's really great in a big choir because you can hide in the bass section and nobody knows you're there. Not so good in a small choir. You have to participate. But one of the great songs is, comfort ye my people. God gives us comfort, and the comfort comes in knowing that we have been reconciled with Him, that we are His. We find comfort because we belong to God. He is our Father, and we are His child, and we have the comfort of knowing that it's all right. I have a talent. Might not be a talent you know about. Shirley knows about it. Shirley has shared this talent with some people, but here it is. I am a baby whisperer. I don't know what it is. Perhaps it's the depth of my voice. Perhaps it's the pudginess that I might have trying to lose, but you give me a squalling or uncomfortable baby, and generally speaking, in the vast majority of cases, they will be soothed and they will fall asleep. Babies, folks, not you. I'm watching, Ted. I am a baby whisperer. They find comfort in my arms. And it has a great image. It's a good image to have, because with Mother's Day coming up next week, is a baby being comforted. All of the cares of the world go away because they feel safe. And we have safety in God. His word tells us that greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. We have great safety. Nothing that the world puts before us needs to terrify us, because God will see us through. He doesn't necessarily take it away from us, but He sees it through us. In fact, in the scripture that we read, we realize that going through trials is part of our growth experience. Romans tells us how we develop because of the things we go through. But we can allow our circumstances to develop us to be more like God, because we have the confidence that God is with us. And in that, we find comfort. There is great comfort in knowing that He is with us. Second thing I want to mention about God being within us is to look at Jesus, God the Son. What does Jesus say to His disciples on this occasion that might speak to us? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Peace is an interesting thing. Peace can be past tense, present tense, future tense. Peace as the world gives is very fleeting and temporary. I have just finished reading Romeo Dallaire's account of his time in Rwanda. As you might know, Shirley and I had the opportunity to go on a short-term mission trip to Rwanda, and we truly fell in love with the place. Romeo Dallaire says, the hills of Rwanda get into your soul. And I believe that. It's a beautiful place with beautiful people. But when he was there, there was no peace, and there was no viable or active search for peace. There were promises made that were meaningless. There was an attempt to give the appearance of seeking peace, but there was no peace. And peace did not come. When I was a little kid, when I thought of peace, I always thought of the westerns I used to watch on television, and the fact that Colt Company made a revolver which was called the Peacemaker. It really didn't make peace. It might have made for peaceful, but it did not make for peace. Pax Romana, the great Roman peace. It wasn't peace. It was peaceful, but it wasn't peace, because it was enforced. It was stressed down on them, and it wasn't real. When God gives us peace, God gives us peace from our past. Our sins are forgiven. And Scripture tells us that as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. We have peace from our past. Our past cannot be brought up against us. In our human relationships, there's such a thing as gunny sacking. And gunny sacking is when someone remembers every little thing that you have done, and then when you begin to have a discourse / argument with one another, the gunny sack comes off of their back and gets dumped onto you. And everything that you have done in the past, even though you were told they were forgiven, gets laid on you again. God doesn't do that. As far as the east is from the west, He's removed our transgressions from us. And where does that become peace for us? Because we don't need to bring it up again either. Because sometimes the most adamant critic that you're going to come across, the most unfeeling critic you're going to come across, is found right within yourself. We have a tendency to be very hard on ourselves because of things we have done. If God has forgiven us, how can we not forgive ourselves? How can we not move on? Shirley, in her kindergarten class, taught her children a very important life lesson, and it's this. You have to be able to say, I did it, I'm sorry, and let's move on. We have to have the peace to move on ourselves. We have the peace of the present. And that has to do with the fact that we do not walk alone. And so we can be at peace in the world no matter what's going on around us because God is with us. And that calms us down. It soothes us. And the comfort that we felt through knowing the Father is with us manifests itself in the peace that Jesus brings. We are at peace in the world. And finally, we are at peace about our future. In the passage that we often designate for funerals at the beginning of chapter 14 of John, which really is not meant to be a funeral passage at all, it was meant to be an encouragement to move forward for his disciples. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I've gone to prepare a place for you. We have peace about our future because God has secured it for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, we are going to remember the cost of that peace. When Jesus laid down his life on the cross for us so that we might have forgiveness of sins and find redemption through his blood. Jesus tells us that because of the peace that we have in our lives, we need to take on the task of being a peacemaker. Not the cold kind, but the kind that reaches out in love, is the first hand extended. The one who seeks reconciliation. In fact, Scripture tells us that our ministry given to us by God is to be his ambassadors preaching reconciliation. Preaching reconciliation. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus taught, for they shall see God. God made peace with us, and we need to be the people who make peace in this world. Wherever we find conflict or strife, whether it's within our family, within our circle of friends, within our work or school situation, or within a greater realm, we have to be the voice of peace. And it means we have to be the one who reaches out first. And that is not an easy thing to do. That often is a painful thing to do. It's an awkward thing to do, but it's a gracious thing to do, because forgiveness is making peace where it is not deserved. We have to be the ones who are ready to make peace. And finally, when we think of God within us, we think of God, the Holy Spirit. And there are different pictures that we're given of God, the Holy Spirit. And one is the comforter, one is a parakletos, and one is an advocate. What might the difference be? Well, comforter we can kind of understand. It's that assurance that God is with us, and the Holy Spirit within us helps us to understand the comfort of God. The second is parakletos. To use a term that we hear sometimes, that's like wingman. It's like partner. It's like buddy. This is where the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and helps us carry our burdens. Doesn't take them, but he helps us carry them. He is the one who has our back so that we know God is there to protect us and to share with us. I remember when I was young, my dad decided to take a group of us on a hike on the Niagara Escarpment along the old Bruce Trail, and he had us dropped off somewhere near Wyarton, and we were going to walk down to Bass Lake. There was no contingency plan. We were going to have to make it to Bass Lake. There were no cell phones. There were no way to call out and say, we're tired, we want to come home. We had to make it. Well, one of the young men that was with us, and actually I just found him on Facebook, or he found me. It's kind of amazing, really, after all these years. But anyway, his mom had made him some kind of salad sandwiches, you know, egg salad, chicken salad, one of those salads. Well, in the heat of the march, walking along the trail, the salad had gone bad, and he got very, very sick. And we had to improvise some kind of way to carry him along the journey. And I'll tell you, it was a lot easier for two of us to carry him than one. And we learned that when you share the burden indeed is lighter. But to try to do it by yourself is not so good. Back in Arcona, they had these ancient tables in the church. I'm in awe of our tables here, by the way, because these ancient wooden things were so heavy. And I loved it when my son Rob was there because he and I could share the burden. Otherwise, you were doing it by yourself. And I got so I could do it by myself, but it was so much more fun when somebody else was there and everything was easier. The third picture we get of the Holy Spirit is that of advocate. Now, Jesus describes him as described as our advocate in 1 John in the second chapter. But that particular use of the word was a legal term, which was like a lawyer, our spokesperson. This word that's used here for advocate is a broader sense, and that is anyone who reaches out to help whatever you're going through. They're there with you to see you through it, to help you through it, to come alongside. And then don't forget that Jesus said just before he left this earth to his disciples, stay in Jerusalem and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. In 2 weeks, it's going to be Pentecost Sunday. And we're going to focus on that amazing event that took place in Jerusalem on that day. But the important thing is that you will receive power. You are empowered to do things. You have God's power within you. When you feel weak, you can be strong. When you feel afraid, you can be brave. When you feel unworthy, you can be accepted. God's power within us tells us that we are important to God and we can do great things for him. Do you know that Jesus actually said to his disciples, greater things will you do than I have done. That amazing message. Greater things you will do than I have done. We have been able to go farther into the world than Jesus was able to by his restricted body as he was one of us. We have been able to take his message around the world. We've been able to live out his life and his love in communities that he could not even have imagined. We have the power to do it because God is within us. Have you ever felt that something that you should do and you didn't feel like you had the strength to do it or the courage to do it? But you felt that call of God within you saying, you should be doing this. You can do it when God is with you. So God is within us, and we have the comfort of knowing that we are his. We are part of his family. We have the peace within us to know that we have been reconciled to God, and nothing that we have done will be held against us, but rather, we are forgiven. So much so that God has prepared a place for us that where he is, we may be also, and we have the power to accomplish the things that he wants us to do. If God calls us to do it, he will give us the power to see it through. Jesus was preparing his disciples for the time that is to come. And he continues to prepare us now for the life that we lead here in Simcoe, here at school, here at work, here within our family, here within our neighborhood. God prepares us to be his people. And we have to embrace the God within us so that we might be his lights in a world of darkness. His word in a world that might not be hearing. His love in a world that might be uncaring. We are called to be his people.